So many smiling faces. It's certainly a blessing to come inside and the air conditioning working. We went to Austin a couple weeks ago, and their air conditioner was under duress at that time. It's kind of tough. And certainly we can feel for the North Church. They've had some problems too, but apparently they've gotten that corrected. So I hope you had a good week, and you're glad to have seen a little bit of rain. We were to the point where we needed rain. We had had a lot of rain before, but we were glad to have some rain. So we see the world around us. You know, it's always frustrating watching the news, seeing what's going to happen and what happened next. It's increasing acts of cruelty and destruction and so forth, and this can become disheartening at times to see those kinds of things. Not many days ago, before we had an act of terrorism and extreme violence, there were just, we thought maybe things had settled down, but again, there were those acts that took place. In 2 Timothy 3, I won't turn there, 3 and verse 1, we've quoted this many times, and you probably know it by heart, but it says, "But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come." And continuing it goes, "And there will be continuing decline in godly violence and differences in society around the world." But I didn't quote that directly from the Bible. I just ad-libbed some of it right there. But the first part I did, which is, "Know that in the last days perilous times will come." So that causes us to be watching and concerned and that type of thing. And we can be overly concerned to the point that we begin to kind of fear and have apprehension about what is ahead in the future. And that's one of the things God does not want us to do. As you heard last week, Mr. Rochelle talked about fear and the need to combat fear and not to allow ourselves to become fearful are overly concerned about things that are going on around us. So let's look at Matthew, the 24th chapter, Matthew 24, as we begin, and begin in verse 12, Matthew 24 and verse 12. "And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will wax cold," essentially what I was talking about before from Timothy, "but he who endures to the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all nations, and then shall the end come." So there is a responsibility that the church has, is to proclaim the good news, not some of the things that we have to face day to day to day in these perilous times, but the good news of things to come. Dropping on down to verse 21. We read, "For then there will be great tribulation such as has not been since the beginning of the world until this time, no, nor ever shall be. And unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened." So we have that hope, that confidence. We look forward to that time when God will intervene and shorten the conditions that exist upon the earth that are out of control and where there is killing and destruction and lawlessness that's taking place in the world today. Okay, let's also turn on over to Luke, the 21st chapter. Luke 21 and verse 29. It's talking about Christ speaking here. It said, "Then he spoke to them a parable. He said, look at the fig tree and all of the trees. When they are already budding, you see and know for yourselves that the summer is near. So you also, when you see these things happen, know that the kingdom of God is near. Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will not pass by any means pass away till all things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away." But he says, goes on here, but he says, take heed. And that's one of the things we do. We watch the world conditions and world situations. But we look at those in a perspective of, we hate to see this happening, but we know it's going to happen because of man's rebellion against God's ways. It says, but take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighted down with carousing and drunkenness and the cares of this life, and they that day come upon you unexpectedly. For it will come as a snare on those who dwell upon the face of the whole earth. Watch therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. So we see the relief is coming, Christ is returning, and we can watch and look forward and pray for that day to come to relieve this world's problems. But we must overcome by doing that, watching, having concern for and caring for and praying for the things that are taking place in the world that this will end. To do this, we must be sure we seek God's help to remain strong and of good courage, because it takes courage to look forward to a situation where you know there will be tribulation and trial and testing. You know, the story of Israel and their journey into the Promised Land is one that's in ways similar and parallel to what we're facing today. We know that when God was ready to take them into the Promised Land, God encouraged Israel to be strong and courageous. He said, be strong and courageous. And he would be with them to overcome all of the adversities that they face. So he wants us as well, as we look forward to the coming kingdom and we go through the various difficulties that are ahead, to be strong and courageous. So today we're preparing for a journey that through time where there will be trials before God's kingdom does arrive. So different times may soon be ahead. We don't know. God doesn't tell us when it's going to happen, but we are to watch and be prepared, be close to God, looking forward to the time of God's kingdom when these things will be replaced with God's government and God's ways. So how should we be preparing? Not in fear, but in faith, in confidence in God to deliver us and to bring about those things that need to take place. Let's go back to Israel's example back in Deuteronomy, the 31st chapter, Deuteronomy 31. And let's look at 31 and verse 6. Again, he emphasizes here in verse 6 of Deuteronomy 31, he says, be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid of them, talking about the people that were in the land that they were going into. For the Lord your God, he is one who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. So that attitude and that frame of mind of confidence in God, knowing that he will be with us, is one of the things that we must indeed embrace. That God will be with us and not forsake us. That God has called us, he's working with us, and God will not forsake us. It goes on in verse 7 to say, then Moses called Joshua, and he said to him in the sight of all of Israel, be strong and of good courage, for you must go with this people to the land which the Lord has sworn to their fathers to give to them, and you shall cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, he is one who goes before you. He will be with you, and he will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not fear nor be dismayed. So an exhortation again to not fear and be dismayed by the things that happen as their journey goes forward. As time goes forward in our particular case, we shouldn't be dismayed. You know, this requires faith, as I've mentioned previously, to trust God no matter what the circumstances that we face. You know, we look at many examples in the Bible of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were willing to put their life on the line, so to speak, in faith, trusting God, and were delivered by God in that particular case. There are so many other examples that we can certainly see where they have set a good example, done things that men have not seen very often. So there are so many stories, and we certainly look at the situation with David and his willingness to do things that were, overcoming fear. He killed a lion and a bear. You know, I can't imagine, confronting a lion and a bear and taking it on and killing it. But he was able to do that with God's blessing and God's help. So I go back to the sermon that Chris gave about fear, that we should not fear, we should not worry, we should not fret, we should not put ourselves in a position where we're doubting and have concerns that these things won't take place, that God won't continue to provide for us and take care of us. So we must have that reverent fear for God, though. Fear God in the proper way, having respect and awe for Him, because that fear is needed for us to stay close to God and respect Him and show the awe that we need for God and His ways. Let's look back a little bit further, talking and following on the same story of Joshua and going into the Promised Land. Let's turn over to Joshua, the first chapter, and verse 5. Joshua 1 and verse 5. Joshua 1 and verse 5 says, "No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you." This is when there was a transition between Moses, the leader at the time, and Joshua being set apart to lead Israel. So he was reassuring Joshua and the people that he would continue to be with them. And verse 6 goes, "Be strong and of good courage." Again, that repeated, "For to this people you shall divide an inheritance of the land which is sworn to their fathers to give them. Only be strong, very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or the left hand, that you may prosper wherever you go." So an attitude of commitment to God, not turning to the left or the right, obeying God's way, and He would prosper them. And we see that today in our lives as well. As we yield ourselves to God, God blesses us, leads us, and directs us, and helps us. So we're to be strong and courageous, as God encouraged the Israelites to be. You know, one of the things I talked about the last time I talked was about God makes a difference for those that He's working with at this time and in the past. He makes a difference. So when He says that He will be strong and He will take care of you, you can believe that. You can put money in the bank on that. He's going to do that. It's right. In Hebrews, the 11th chapter, the faith chapter, we must understand that how God does make a difference as He sets apart people. Hebrews 11, and let's look at verse 6. Hebrews 11, verse 6 says, "But without faith it is impossible to please Him, for he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him." So we have to have that faith and confidence in Him and believe Him. And he goes on to explain the blessings that people receive because of that. "By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear and prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. By faith, Abraham obeyed, and it goes on to explain those situations and circumstances, how Abraham obeyed, and he was blessed, and his seed has become as the sand of the sea. So we're strengthened by God. He sets apart those of us, and he makes a difference as we yield ourselves to him and as we seek to obey him. So we need to be sure that we are committed to that obedience to God and his ways. So let's look at some of the things that I feel can help strengthen us for this different time that we're seeing ahead of us. One of the first things I think is very important is seeing God's hand in our lives. That we see God's hands in our lives. And you say, well, you know, how do you do that? Well, there's a way that God has worked with us that we need to see, and that is through his Spirit working with us to see how he is blessing us and working with us. So do we see how God has called us, set us apart, opened our minds to God's word, to his purpose and his direction, and that we understand that we are to obey, and when we make mistakes and don't obey, that we're to repent and draw back closer to God again. You know, the knowledge of his plan about mankind is a tremendous blessing and should take a weight off of our shoulders, because we understand that God is not at this time condemning all mankind, but has a time plan for when others will be given an opportunity. It's not just salvation now and only now, but there is a time according to his plan, and we understand that, and we're thankful for that. The knowledge of his plan, that mankind is working with us and being real to us at this time. In Acts, the 5th chapter, and let's look at verse 30, Acts 5 and verse 30. It says, the God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you murdered. He was talking to the Israelites at that time, by hanging on a tree. Him God has exalted to his right hand to be prince and savior, to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sin. And we are his witnesses to these things. And so also is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. So those Israelites at that time were witnesses, physically seeing that situation take place, the sacrifice, and the sacrifice that Christ was willing to make for all mankind. But we today, too, are witnesses by God's Spirit working with our mind to open our minds to see the truth of these things, and the reality of these things that are taking place that God has promised would be fulfilled. So we are also witnesses. So this is one of the ways that we see God's hand in our lives, because we've come to see that and comprehend it and know the sacrifice of Jesus Christ is personal for us as well as for all mankind. You know, the scripture in John 3, verse 16 says that, God has given an opportunity to all mankind. God so loved the world that he gave his life for mankind, not just us, but all mankind. It testifies to these things. So we understand how God's word is true and how his plan is being fulfilled in this world today, and what awesome it really is. We can look at the past. We can see how God dealt with the people in the past, the reality of what God has revealed, that it is true, the prophecies that look to the future. We can actually see some being fulfilled today, beginning to be fulfilled. We understand how God's word is true, very, very true, and we see these prophecies and things coming about. We know the past, and we are looking to the future. We're not dwelling on the past, but we're looking to the future. I know Mr. Frank's on Friday Night Live presentation, I guess it was a couple, 3 weeks ago, anyway, gave a sermon on prophecy, or a presentation on prophecy. And he essentially said, you know, there are seven things to watch for. We can get off on the little twigs and speculate on all of these other little things, but there are certain key things that, you know, we can watch for and we can see happening in the world, the overview of what's going on. He said, watch the Middle East. Watch the Middle East. And we've been watching the Middle East. And everybody that sees what's going on in the turmoil and the rise of the nations, of the possibility of nuclear weaponry for Iran, indeed is awesome to realize. And the turmoil and the watch can include seeing that there will be a king of the South that will come. So as you can see, that's already beginning to upset there in that area. He said, watch Europe. And we know that God said that there will be a conglomerate of 10 nations. And we're beginning to see that take place. So we can be encouraged by the reality of these things, that the end is near and will soon come to pass. So we need to watch Europe and the nations there. We've just recently seen what happened with Britain voting to remove themselves from Europe, the Brexit, where they've decided that they want to. And we had understood for years that eventually Britain would not be a part of that particular conglomerate that God says will take place in Europe and become the beast of the end time. We need to watch for a political leader to come out of Europe that will unite the nations that come together and bring about a political religious system that the world has not seen. And watch for a religious leader to join with that beast power to put his backing behind it. And the fifth thing he brought out was watch what I just mentioned, watch for Britain to leave the EU. And we understand that it is already in the process. Watch the rapid decline in morals and law, and law and order, willingness to obey the laws. Watch the warnings that we, the church, can become lukewarm in Revelation 2 and verse 3. So these are things that we need to watch for, and we can see that are there, that we can see God's hand in the world today and in our lives. You know, David was one of the ones that set us a tremendous example all through Scripture. David saw his hand in his God's hand in his life and sought to have a real close personal relationship with God day to day. Let's turn to Psalm number 23, one that everybody's familiar with, and just relate how David saw God's hand in his life. Psalm 23, and let's begin in verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. So there is a trust right off the bat in God. He looks to God to lead him and direct him. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. So he knew God was intervening and helping him and providing for him. He restores my soul. When we make mistakes, when we sin, when we rebel, when we are not doing what we should, David realized that he would restore his soul. And he leads me in the path of righteousness to bring him back to that path for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. So fear should not be in our lives either. We should not fear evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies, and you anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So this shows a commitment to see God's hand in his life. When we think about those things, could we write a Psalm 23 about our lives? Are we responsive in that way and see God working in our lives? And that's one of the things that we need to see to understand that God is with us. He's helping us. He's guiding us and watching over us. Let's turn on back to another psalm, Psalm 139. And let's go to verse 1. Psalm 139 and verse 1. Another psalm of David. It says, O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. And we need to understand that that is the case. God knows our every thought. You know my sitting down. You know my rising up. You understand my thoughts afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. So God knows us. We just need to submit ourselves to him for him to work with us and help us. And going on down in verse 23, we see what David said, how he sought that help for God's guidance and direction. He says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties, and see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting, the way that God has revealed. God's way is the way everlasting. So David saw God's hand in his life, and he was encouraged by that when he went through his life. And we can have that same understanding and blessing as well as we seek God and allow him to work with us. Totally learning to trust God, saying, not my will, but your will be done, as Jesus Christ told his Father continually. Not my will, but your will be done. So he wanted to be led by God and his ways. In Jeremiah, we have another scripture, Jeremiah the 10th chapter. Jeremiah 10 and verse 23. Says, O Lord, know the way of man. Or, O Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man who walks to direct his own steps. Once we see ourselves properly, we realize that that is the case. When we try to do things our own way, many times it goes awry if it's contrary to God's way. O Lord, correct me, but with justice, not in your anger, lest you bring me to nothing. So that's the attitude that we need to have. We need God to lead us in his ways, to direct our steps, to help us follow his ways. Learning to totally trust God and look to him with confidence and faith. He is the source of our strength and our courage. The second major point that I wanted to bring out was that we need to focus on the future, not on the past, worrying about the past. God wants us to focus on the future he has planned for all of mankind, his kingdom to come. This is to energize our zeal and enthusiasm. we can begin to look back and worry about the situation we see happening in the world today, and it takes energy away from our lives. God wants us to have happy lives. He wants us to live life to the full, to understand that, just because there are troubles and trials, we can follow God's way and be blessed, and we can have a positive way of life. So we shouldn't be looking back at our failures and at the situations going on in the world from a negative point of view, worrying about those things, because this takes away from our zeal and our enthusiasm for God's way of life. There can also be worry about the future as well. If we look to the future and we see all these things happening, if we don't trust God and are looking to God, then we begin to worry, what's going on in the world today? What's going to happen to me? All those kinds of things, rather than totally trusting and looking to God. Matthew, the 6th chapter. Matthew 6, verse 25. Got an old ear that stopped up this morning, and I can't hear myself. I know my voice sounds gravelly to me inside. I don't know whether it sounds that way to y'all as well, but man. So let's look at Matthew 6 and verse 25. Well, I got to get there. It goes on to say, this is Christ speaking in verse 25 of Matthew 6. It says, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry." So this is what we've been talking about. "Do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not the life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to your stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these." So we see this playing out here, that God wants us not to worry about the mundane day-to-day needs that He will provide if we submit ourselves to Him. And it goes on to say in verse 33, "But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." So that positive approach, that way to look to the future, is important, that we look and we pray for God's kingdom to come. Let's turn to Romans 8:28. I won't turn there. It says one of the promises that we can rely on day to day. It says, "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose." So we see our calling. We know that God is with us. We should be positive and thankful. All things do work together for the good of those who love God. Sometimes God allows us to go through trials because we make mistakes to learn lessons. That's part of life. That's part of our growing. That's part of our understanding that we receive over a period of time. So we're going to continue to make mistakes probably, and we need to learn from those mistakes. We need to not worry about them, repent, change, get back on course, follow the straight and narrow path, and look to God to guide and direct us. You know, God wants us to plan our lives with confidence and purpose, using the talents we've been blessed to have, going forward, looking forward to God's kingdom. And he blesses us as we do that. He blesses all aspects of our lives, our families, our jobs. He blesses the church. I know when we had the recent split, you know, I was amazed how God blessed us to be able to come together the way that we have, and the peace and the blessings that we have received and the leadership that God has provided. All of those things have been blessings for those of us that God has called. What a blessing it is. So we need to appreciate that and look to the future and not worry and be concerned and be mired down with problems and trust God to deliver us. The third thing that I want to mention is we need to be strengthened by the trials we do face. Be strengthened by the trials we do face. How we handle trials in our life is very, very important. We can grow stronger from them, or we can become discouraged and set back by them. So we need to look at our aspect when we're beginning to have a trial, a situation. How am I going to handle this? Am I going to go through it in a positive way and seek God's guidance and direction? Or am I going to just kick the dirt here and there and try to do my own thing and resolve the problem and the difficulties? In Psalm 34 and verse 19, I won't turn there, it says, "Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all." So at the end of that trial, there will be deliverance. We may not see it as we go into it and circumstances come about, but in the end, he will deliver us and give us some insight as some of the things. Maybe we made a mistake, did the wrong thing. Maybe we were wrongly accused and had something, happen to us that shouldn't have, but we endured it in the proper way and grew as a result of that. In Acts 14 and verse 22 says, "We, through many tribulations, enter the kingdom of God." So life is not a rose garden, so to speak. There are going to be difficulties that we face day to day that we need to enter into the situation with God and trust him to deliver us through those. Through many tribulations, we enter into the kingdom of God. In another verse, Romans 8 and verse 18 says, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." So here's one of those promises. God is promising that we will be given an opportunity to be in his family, to receive the glory that he has in mind for us in the future. Back in James, the first chapter, James, the first chapter, and let's begin in verse 2. It says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials." So, you know, this is an indictment about the way that we should address those situations. We should address them with joy, realizing that the outcome is good if we let God lead us through them, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives to all liberally without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith. So we see that when we have problems with trials, learning to count it as a joy, that we can ask God and he will give us the wisdom that we need to see that joy and to see the trial through in a positive light and a positive way. In 2 Peter in verse 1, Amanda, right now I'm in 2 Peter 1 and verse 2 is what I want. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of our Lord, our God, and Jesus Christ the Lord, and his divine power has been given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which he has given us exceeding great promise, precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. But also, for this very reason, giving diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. So we see here a whole list of attributes that God wants us to add to our character as we go through life. And trials are a catalyst to help bring that about so that we learn to face them with the right way and we develop these characteristics, the diligence to see it through, the faith, the knowledge of how to handle the situation, the self-control to not get all bent out of shape and not handle it properly, perseverance, seeing it all the way through, godliness, brotherly kindness, not treating our brothers wrongly as we go through situations where they may be at fault or have problems, caused us problems, with brotherly kindness and love. So we see the value of learning from trials, the value that produces the right kind of character that God wants in our lives. So we see enduring trials in a godly manner should help us produce godly fruits in our lives that strengthen us, that help us to be strong, so that we're preparing to have courage in the time of trouble. The fourth thing that I feel can be of help in strengthening us is learning to serve others. Learning to serve others. Learning to serve others is a big help in overcoming our selfish inward natures. We tend to be selfish, self-centered, naturally. But as we look out and see others in need and we serve them, we indeed are extending our concern and fulfilling what God wants us to do, learning love and outgoing concern for others. Acts 20 and verse 35 says, it is more blessed to give than to receive. You know, this is not only true in a physical attribute way, our physical way of giving money or an offering or whatever, but needs that the people have, fulfilling those needs, encouraging people, looking to people to help them and encourage them, provide help, gifts when they need something, food to eat, to give them strength, to encourage them. You know, James, the first chapter, James 1 and verse 27. Let's turn there. I'll turn there. James 1 and verse 27. Yeah, I said one. I'm going the wrong way. It says, pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. So that's what God wants. He wants us to extend ourselves in service, to learn that pure religion by stepping out in faith and doing for others that need help, to encourage them, to help them in time of need. In 2 Corinthians 1, Second Corinthians 1, verse 3. Says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as the suffering of Christ abounds in us, so our consolation also abounds through Christ. So the emphasis here is that as we see how Christ has comforted us by giving his life and the sacrifice for us, we too need to be willing to give our lives and energy and time and effort to comfort and help others. So it is an important thing that we learn to serve and be willing to help others. If we desire to be in God's family, we, as sons of God, will learn to serve in this lifetime. So that's one of the things that will strengthen us as we go forward and face times of trial and tribulation. So in summary, we see that we must develop an attitude of a servant, totally depending on God, and he will strengthen us as we do that. So let's go forward and let God strengthen us so we can have the courage to face difficulties as we go forward by, number one, seeking to see God's hand in our lives, focusing on the future, not the past, being strengthened by the trials that we face, and by learning to serve others. And we see that in this way, God is preparing us now to be strong and of good courage for times ahead.